I think when it comes to representing yourself on social media, there's like,
yeah.
there's like first, there's obviously real life, then there's like Facebook, and then, yeah. then there's Instagram, then there's you go up like a few levels, and then Tinder. Like what people see on Tinder is like your number one, like your ultimate. That is the best you'll ever look in your whole life.
Yeah, you see, and that's because I've never been on Tinder. I don't know that Tinder life.
Oh yeah.
But all the stories I've heard is that guys in Tinder, you wouldn't even believe it. Guys will even pay for those filter apps, like those $18 filter apps.
Oh really?
And just go amazing on them.
I can imagine that. You know, I can imagine that, because I'll meet someone, I'll match someone on Tinder and be like, wow, that's a really pretty person. I'm really excited to meet them in person. And then we get there and it's not even like they're just so unattractive. They just don't look like the person at all. It's just like a different human being that was on the app in the first place. I'm like, well, how did you even do this? Did you change your style?
Wait, hold on. Are we talking straight up catfish or just like...
No, we're not talking catfish. Weird
angles that I didn't know were humanly possible.
100%.
With a cellular device.
And I'm not even saying in an attractive way. I'm just saying you just look different. Like that just wasn't you. Like how did you make yourself... Like how did you put on another face in that photo and now look so weird in real life? Like, I don't know. It is...
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
And see, I have that. I don't know where LinkedIn fits in that.
Okay.
But I've been having these people in LinkedIn at work, and I see their LinkedIn. I'm like, oh man, this guy, girl, whatever. You know, I'm not saying sexually in any capacity. I'm just like, oh, this guy looks deep, styling. This girl looks fabulous. And I've been on their Zoom calls being like, you an ugly motherfucker. Like,
you don't look anything like you did there.
Yeah. Like this was 20 years ago, at least, or 10.
I mean, but also.
And it's going back to, I don't know if you've been on LinkedIn lately, but it's becoming a weird place.
I recently went back into LinkedIn.
I don't know what it does.
Dude, how does...
I know you can find jobs there, and I know people give really fake posts about productivity and work ethic and telling your boss to get fucked.
Yeah.
But it's recently getting a little murkier.
The thing is, LinkedIn's a weird thing, because first of all, everyone's got like a beautiful profile picture, and I don't know which photographer is getting all this business, because he does it so, or she does it very, very well. But then also... Everyone, you feel like you have to go on LinkedIn to get work, but then also people who have work laugh at people on LinkedIn. And I'm like, what is the deal here? What is the actual situation? I don't know.
And that's why I was speaking to someone recently, and they were talking about like some people in their like senior level guys, it's actually in their contracts that they need to X LinkedIn posts. Like it's a KPI for some people.
What you have to post on LinkedIn.
Yeah. I think it's mostly around service, you know, professional services.
Sure.
Because you know, professional services just make reports that no one cares about. Now, hey, we made this report and here it is for free. Call us now. And what else could we do for you?
Yeah. So I feel that.
But then it's like, but why? Like, does an actual organization go, hey, I read this free report. Let's go give these guys $100,000.
Yeah. Like, what is the business strategy? Like, I don't know how that works. Yeah. Yeah,
it's just getting really, and now there's fake LinkedIn.
Like, what's fake LinkedIn?
Not real people just looking at my profile from India. I'm not saying India is fake. I'm just saying like getting a lot of people from India who just viewed my profile.
But for what reason? Like why?
And it doesn't exist. I don't know. It's fake. It's fake. Like people.
I just don't understand that.
There's fake people. You know, on Instagram, there's bots.
Oh yeah, they're everywhere.
Like those fake bots.
But what are those bots?
They're actually in LinkedIn.
Do you know what I hate about LinkedIn? And now we're really going off the subject here. What I hate about LinkedIn...
We got time.
Is when someone messages me and goes like, hey, Nicholas, I see you're involved in marketing. I offer the best marketing strategy that you'll ever find. Blah, 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 blah. Just click on the link and check me out and stuff. And I'm like, I am in marketing. Why would I want your marketing strategy and then pay for it as well? That doesn't make any sense at all. Surely you should be going for clients, not trying to sell your strategy everywhere.
Yeah. And that's another thing. People can sell. How can people just sell to me? Like people sell like online MBAs to me all the time. Hey, you should online on this course. No. I'm like, what is this place?
Yeah.
How did you find me?
It is a weird thing.
Why does this exist? Other than to just flex on people when you start a new job.
I think that's the point.
I think that's
the whole point. Because the only notifications I get about is like, Tim Johnson got a new promotion. Julia Fish has started a new position. That's the only things I see. I've never I've had plenty of jobs. None of them came from LinkedIn. I don't know how. Can you get jobs on LinkedIn? I'm not sure. I don't know.
No, you can. You can. You can.
Can you?
People get okay. them. People do get them. But like, in saying that, just the whole encompassment of LinkedIn at the moment, it's just getting real weird, man. I'm calling it now. I don't know if it's a weird place. 10 years from now.
It's going to crumble. It's going to be gone.
I think so.
It's going to be like a new LinkedIn. Someone's
going to come up with a better product, or maybe an exclusive product. So like it'll be a thing of
that'll make more sense.
Professional network, but like you need to know 4 people to get in.
Do you know what would be sick? If they made a Tinder like LinkedIn. So they go, what job are you trying to get? And you go marketing or accounting. And then all the accounting HR people go on there and they say they're looking for accounting. And then you can go and you can swipe right or swipe left. And you go, nah, nah, nah.
Swipe right. Okay, let's have an interview.
And then you have like a little video call on the app. And you can have a little interview.
Or if they match you.
Yeah.
Match.
Dude, wait, that would make so much sense.
I think you're giving away free code.
Dude, that's genius. Oh my God.
Stop. Yeah,
so I have to stop this part right now. I have to go.
Go right to start.
Like, find a guy in India who can make this app for me because this will be unbelievable.
That's solid.
It's actually a really good idea.
It's a fucking good idea.
Okay.
Actually, lock that up quickly. Yeah. The pedestal.
The pedestal.
The pedestal.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do like that idea. We live though. Good afternoon, man. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right, dude. I'm all right. It's been
good. Good thanks, and you?
Yeah, good thanks, man. How are you doing?
I do that to people all the time now at work. And they're like, I'm good. How are you? I'm like, I'm good. Thanks, and you?
It's possibly the worst thing in the whole world. My worst one.
It's because we went to school in South Africa. That's the issue.
Do you think that's what it is? They're going to be just overly polite.
Good thanks, and you? Yeah, yeah, we are.
Good thanks, and you? Good thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
And you?
Yeah.
My worst one is you go to the restaurant and the waiter drops your food off and they say, enjoy your food. And you say, you too. Have you done that before?
Oh, that's.
That's one of the worst moments of life.
And when someone's like not doing something and you're about to do something.
Okay. Like
and
what?
They're like, oh, have fun. And you're like, you too.
And then you're like, it's like,
like dropping you off in a car.
I guess it's like, okay, I guess I'll enjoy my drive home. I guess I'll do it. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks,
I know that
dude. That's a weird one. What else is there? Are there other ones? Just like weird things people say. Oh, you know what's the worst thing in life? It's when you're at school and you're trying to get the teacher's attention and you like go, Mom, hi, sorry, Mom.
Oh, the mom.
That was so bad.
That one hurts.
Yeah.
That one hurts. So even if you call your girlfriend that one also hurts you.
You've called your girlfriend Mom?
Yeah, not recently, but I remember before it was Sabat.
That's
just that's like some, just like in the just like in
psychological
the daily,
stuff.
No, just like in the daily that's, tasks.
I'm no psychologist, no, but that's
Mom,
baby. I'm not a psychologist, but that's an Oedipus complex. No, I'm joking.
No, not at all. It happened like one time 8 years ago.
Okay. As long as it doesn't happen too often, because that'd be weird.
Actually, but I'm not alone, actually. No, it happens.
Oh, really?
It happened, yeah. No, you're not going to scare me now.
Okay.
No, I'm saying it happens sure to many people. A lot of you might be chuckling at me, but it happened to you at home. Some of you called your girlfriend's mom today.
I'm sure that happened to someone. Talking about psychological issues, I think... Later on, but not right now, later on, we're going to chat about mental health. And because it is actually Mental Health Awareness Month, that is October. That is which true. Is
well, super, no, let's talk about it now.
Should we talk about it?
We're serious adults.
We are serious adults. About it right now. So.
I know you reached out to the listeners initially. I did. Also, we wanted some you know when you go to a class and the teacher's really boring? Not that we're boring. And they go, okay, guys, I'm going to ask some questions to the class.
And
we reached out to you guys on Instagram.
And it was actually so cool. We got the best responses. Get me to say, first of all, to everyone who did respond, thank you so, so much. We really do appreciate it. We realize that there's probably some ethical issues with asking people about depression and anxiety on an app, but you guys answered. So thank you for that. Appreciate it. We got some incredible, incredible responses on that. And I think what's important about Mental Health Awareness Month is that it just kind of, what's the word, normalizes mental health issues. Because like a lot of people are just like, remember I met a guy and I asked him like, oh, how do you look after your mental health or do you mental illness? And he said, no, that's not a thing. You just have demons in your brain. And I was like, oh, so that's how far along the narrative is here.
Yeah. And that's like,
yeah,
I'm willing to say that was a narrative for most of my life as well.
I can imagine.
Like, there wasn't, especially, yeah. And I want to say from South African culture and African culture, there's no such thing as mental health.
100%. Definitely not.
Like, it's not a thing. Like, men don't cry. You keep it all in. That shows strength.
Yeah.
And then there's just some people who go crazy. And that's it. That's
and there's not some people go crazy and it's got nothing to do with the society or the way they're grown up, brought up or whatever. No. It's just some people just go, just going nuts.
Because the idea is that me and that same person had the same upbringing, we had the same obstacles. They did worse than I did better than, or they went crazy. I didn't. Therefore, that's a them problem. People just go crazy.
Sure.
And that's just like a big part of my culture. Yeah.
Or even just a thing that happened.
Yeah. Even from, you know, sometimes, you know, mental health would be a result of like a learning disability or an anxiety. That's just that's a you thing. You need to figure that out. There's no such thing. There's no such thing in this house.
Which is super interesting. And like the more you become aware about it, the more you realize how it affects you. Like when I was like, 21-year-old kid, not much to worry about in life. When I was definitely an anxious kid, but I just didn't know what anxiety was. I just didn't know what it was. And as you get older and you learn more about it, you go, oh no, there's a thing in my brain saying that we must panic now. And my brain's going, why are we panicking? And the other part of my brain is going, just panic, there's danger around. And that's how it works. And it's like, oh, it's a weird situation. I mean, like, I'll preface like this conversation with, I base my days around managing my anxiety, like 100%. Like waking up in the morning, meditating, making sure I exercise, trying to stay away from my phone as late as possible in the day, like that kind of stuff, because I know how much it'll affect me if I don't do that kind of stuff. So it's like, yeah, so it's, for me, I think a particularly interesting conversation. I mean, do you have things that you use to manage? I mean, it's something that is a factor in your life, or you just, that's not something that you experience?
I think as we sort of reach this, it's not adolescence, like what, quarter life crisis they call it?
Yes, sure.
Or sort of like, there's no,
got to make it by 30.
Well, yeah. And there's no clear path anymore. You know, you went to primary school, you went to high school, you went to uni, like you knew what the next year held and it was kind of set in stone with you. So I definitely think I became more aware of my mental state because I was almost forced to slow down a bit and like trying to figure out my path and where do I fit in this whole scheme. And I think often that can lead to sort of, you know, and whether it's existential crisis or a bit of narcissism seeping in.
Mm.
And often you forget that there's other factors that can lead to that type of situation. So definitely trying to be more mindful is a big thing. Like just being mindful. Hey, how do I feel? Hey, what am I telling myself? If I sit quietly in a room, what do I tell myself in my head? And like trying to be more aware of that. Like,
and what kind of thoughts are those? Because I'm like, something that I have is like, let's say I'm just sitting and I'm supposed to be doing work or whatever. I'll get like shitty negative or like dark thoughts that just kind of slip into my mind and I'll go in like a tangent and it'll just be like a spiral. And I'll be thinking about this really negative thing for maybe like a minute or 45 seconds, whatever it is, before I realize, poof, like snap out of it, like stop thinking about that thing because it just, there's nothing positive that's coming out of that thought process or that line of thought. So I have to go like, okay, cool. Let me get out of that. And that can, I mean, that's just, instead of being in like a very positive situation where I'm doing work or I'm messaging someone or, you know, I'm having a conversation, suddenly I've got this like this dark negative thought that's occupying my sort of brain space. It's a weird way to say it. But yeah.
And I think particularly when like that thought inflicts an emotion, like fear or guilt or sadness, like you can't, as smart as we are, you can't actually argue yourself out of that situation.
Mm.
Sometimes you just got to feel it.
Yeah.
And you got to almost like chill in that moment and be like, oh, well, fuck, I just have to deal with this feeling.
And that's like the interesting thing. Do you try and escape it? Or, so I think a big thing is the phone now. So when you feel like let's say you feel sad or you feel like a negative thought coming on, you'll go to your phone and you'll try to scroll through Instagram. So like, I think that's why it's like social media and phones have become so addictive. Because when you have like, let's say depressive or anxious or whatever kind of thought, yeah,
you can just try to escape into it, a meme page.
And you, yeah, 100%. You laugh at it, a dumb meme. Instead of addressing like, oh, why am I having a thought? Why am I experiencing this? Why do I do that? Yeah.
And I think the way I've tried to, I think I don't know if I suffer from any mental illness, but I definitely do get moments of, you know, just sudden anxiety or, you know, just sort of like, yeah, I think it's that quarter life crisis thing of like, okay, what am I actually doing with my life?
Mm.
What am I actually doing here? Like, why am I here? Or, you know, when you sort of try to look at other people suffering and you're in this place and you kind of maybe even have that guilt of like, you know, why them, why me type thing.
Sure.
But what I have found is that, not that there's like, I want to say that I understand that there is a real place for medicine when it comes to this. Like there's a legitimate place for where medicine resides, but I'm also a deep believer in sort of the fundamental natural things we can do to combat these things. And I've always been someone who's really tried to explore those parts, such as, you know, float tanks, such as, okay, what have you been eating lately? Well, what's in your gut? You know, have you been binge drinking one too many times? Like, you know, what am I eating? What am I am I exercising regularly? Am I being more mindful of myself and my circumstance and the decisions I make on a daily basis? And I understand that if you explore all those parts and you still, hey, wait, I'm still feeling like this, then okay, cool. You're actually depressed and we actually need to medicate you because now we're actually dealing with a chemical imbalance in your brain.
I completely agree. Completely, yeah. I know how good this is for listening, but I mean, I 100% agree. For me, I don't want to say battled with anxiety. Like I don't have like intense anxiety where I have panic attacks every day, but you know, like I have anxiety and I've always thought maybe I go on the pills, but then there are side effects of that. And you think, where do you even get the pills, whatever. So how do I address it without taking medication? And that's exactly what I do. So try and exercise every day. Sure, I have been drinking way more than I should have been drinking, but kind of like those kind of things, trying to do just to kind of live healthier, and you find that not only your physical state is good, but your mental state is so much better as well. Even meditating, getting 8 hours of sleep, those kind of things I think can benefit people so much. And I'm not, as you said, I'm not trying to deter people from taking medicine. I'm saying I think there's like a lot of things with our society that can lead to anxiety or depression that can be battled by just changing habits or just changing your activities without having to buy expensive medication or, you know what I mean?
I think a good principle to sort of focus on with that is sort of the 80-20 rule, that generally there's about a handful of things. It's not big things, it's not major things you need to do. There's generally like a handful of things that you probably need to do or change or adapt that can make all the difference. And that's kind of been, up until this point, my approach to mental health. So that's, like, figure out those key points, focusing in on them and then trying to bring myself.
Yeah. You know, I want to go to what the listener said now, but I think also the biggest thing is, really, one of the biggest things, even besides eating healthily or exercising or meditating or being mindful, is just talking to someone. If you have someone, like, you should never feel like if you're going through something, like, and it can be something so lame. It can be like, I want to make sure I get 65% for this exam so I don't get kicked out of university. Or I just want to, you know what I mean? Someone at work or whatever is bullying me, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just make sure, and that can lead to anxiety and depression. Just make sure that you talk to someone about it, because suicide has happened from lesser things. I can affect people in so many different kind of ways. So I think it's really important that you, if it's your mom or your sister or your brother or your boyfriend, girlfriend, best friend, whatever, make sure you talk about those things. Because even just getting it off your chest can do like wonders, can be amazing. It can do incredible things, which I think is which I think is invaluable.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to that, I think people need to understand or work out what their philosophy is for life. And when you specifically talk to someone, I think there's sort of two philosophies, right? There's the philosophy of it doesn't matter. It's silly. Like nothing, that doesn't matter. You know, like you sort of try to build this idea that certain things matter and certain things don't. And I think one thing I sort of have noticed and one thing I would try to recommend to people is like, imagine if everything mattered.
Yeah.
Imagine if there were actual consequences to everything you do. And now think about how you would approach your life in that respect, rather than just like, oh, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Imagine if that thing bothers you, it matters. And you know, this can be a positive or negative thing. Like sometimes understanding the positive things that you do in your life ultimately matter. And I think that can be sort of a good philosophy to sort of guide you when you question things, when you try push things to the side, because you ultimately have this belief or this philosophy that not everything matters or not all things are equal. Like just maybe try to flip that on the script.
You mean like you can make things matter no matter what? Like you're saying like people have like worth?
Fundamentally, everything matters.
Okay. And then, okay.
To how you approach life, to how you feel, or to how you will end up feeling.
Sure.
Or the decision you'll end up making.
Like, okay. Give me an example of that.
Like, how would I say this? Like, why should I go to bed early? Why shouldn't I stay up all night? Why shouldn't I just do what I want?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to matter in 100 years, in 1,000 years. Like, why should I even work? Why should I even try? And obviously I'm talking about the hardcore version of that sort of nihilism thought process. But what I'm trying to say is like, ultimately that's no way to live. And we want people to live, right? So what I'm saying is one good approach to working out a good way to live is to think about that everything actually matters.
Yeah, I feel you. 100%. Yeah. I agree with you.
But anyway, let's go. I think I've gone too deep now. That was, I think we need to get into the
very
into the
real. I dig that though. That was good.
To the listeners' comments.
So what you did was you asked the listeners what they thought about certain things about mental health. And because we wanted people, these things to kind of be normalized. So I'm going to start with, do you take medication for your anxiety or depression, right? So look, in the responses that we have, which is like, yeah. So out of the people we asked, 7% said that they take medication for the anxiety or depression, whereas 93% of people said they didn't. Okay. So, I mean, there are people out there who do use medication and yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you'd be surprised that the people who end up taking medication, like I said earlier, you know, these people aren't slackers. These people aren't people with like, you know, often you'll find out these people are high performers, very successful, like, you know, go people. And, you know, they get to that point where they're like, I'm doing everything right. Something, and I'm still at this point that I was for at the beginning. And that's why, you know, there's a legitimate medical reason for them to be on those.
100%. I suppose it's a chemical imbalance, as you said earlier. So it's not like, I need a way out. I need a leg up. You know what I mean? These aren't, as you said, they're not weak people. They're just like, it's the same way that you need pills for, you need to medicate diabetes or to medicate arthritis. You have to medicate a certain chemical imbalance, and therefore you get medication for anxiety or depression or any other mental illness that someone might face.
And I think kudos to them, because, you know, some people, like we said, we want to have this episode because we want to remove the stigma. Like I give kudos to those people just to, you know, put up their hands and, you know, to let us know like, hey, there's people, you know, in your circle right now. You might not even know it, but I think that's a testament, like knowing that, you know, there's people in our circle who are dealing with these things and are, you know, medically induced for whatever reason.
100%. No. Yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah.
So the other question was, do you see a therapist? Now this is super interesting, right? So do you see a therapist? 44 percent of people said they did see a therapist, which is pretty, quite a large number. And I think it's kind of, if you ask that question, maybe 5 years ago, especially 10 years ago, the answer would have been like 2%. But now, but I think because mental illness is getting more and more normalized and people realize, I mean, I see a therapist. Well, I was when I was in South Africa, and it's the best thing. You go there, you talk about yourself for an hour. You don't have to ask him about his life or her life. It's amazing. And you kind of just get everything in your chest, and it really is like a therapeutic experience, which is, So, I mean.
And even me and myself, I've seen a therapist a number of times as well.
Oh, yeah? And did you find value from that?
Important. Yeah, I think it's super important. Just having that ability to just, you know, unload your stuff, let it be out on the table, let it just live in the ethos rather than it be in your mind. Just
keeping it in there and keeping it tightened up.
And look, I mean, you know, if people want to get their body right, they'll get a personal trainer. You know, if people want to, you know, do certain changes, or people want to get their finances correct, they'll get a financial advisor. It's crazy to think that, you know, the most important asset you have, I'm sure we can all agree, is your mind.
Of course, definitely.
So to think, you know, it's almost arrogant to think that you alone can sort this thing out if you want it to be its best self. You know what I mean? Like, this is your most precious asset, essentially.
100%.
So it makes to have clarity, perfect sense. To have clear thought.
And it doesn't have to be like waffling on about your emotions and your relationship with your mother. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I went to my therapist and I said, listen, I want to accomplish these things. And I want you to help me accomplish those things and give me mental techniques to accomplish those things. And he said, yes, we can do that, but 100%. And we did. We got there. We worked together over, like, I think just under a year. And we had almost like a life coach or a personal trainer or whatever, we kind of accomplished those mental goals. And for me, that's huge. You know what I mean? Because it is such an important part of your life. And it is, as you say, your biggest asset.
Yeah. And actually, I would encourage the other, what's the math now? What was the
56%? 56%.
The other 56%. Go out and see a therapist. Just try.
Just one time.
You don't have to go. Even if you feel great, even if life's popping, even if you just won the lotto,
just go.
No matter how great your life is, I strongly, strongly recommend just going out and chatting to someone that isn't directly incentivized or attached.
An objective, trained person to talk about mental health and psychology.
I think it's super important.
I think 100%. Yeah. So I want to go to the last question. So we asked, how do you manage your mental health? So we've got some interesting responses here. Sorry, I don't know why I laughed at this. This is the first answer. Was a joke. But
what was the joke? Can you say the joke?
Is this a joke? It's like, I dare you to talk about psychedelics. That was the answer. I was like, okay, dude. First of all, we've got it's like, treat your mental illness with psychedelics. Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Hey, wait, hold on. That actually is a thing, though.
Low key. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Microdosage of MDMA and acid have been used to sort of terminal
microdosing mushrooms. I have heard about that.
Yeah, microdosing mushrooms, helping with terminal illness and post-traumatic stress. So it is a legitimate thing.
I've also seen people take mushrooms and go nuts. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
No, and look, if you guys ever get the chance to do a history on mushrooms, and these guys that actually, you know, the guys that actually invented the flotation tank and were discovering mushrooms in sort of the early, I don't know, 1900s, I don't know which time. Don't quote me on that. But like, they were actually looking to understand the mind and all its obscurity. Why are people sad? Why are people happy?
Yeah.
And that's actually where it started at. And then later throughout life, it became a recreational thing. But like, psychedelics were initially discovered, like these compounds were actually discovered to help the mind.
That's interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where it's actually.
So that guy's actually legitimate.
He's actually exploring.
But and that's the thing, like taking mushrooms, you know, for example, in a nice house, in a calm environment, and you're like, what do I do next with my life? Home.
And then you.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, rather than, hey, we're getting fucked up, hey, it's a party, whatever. Let's say my hi, let's see how wet it is, fun and cool. Like, That's something that happened later.
Sure.
So I do think there is actually a real place for psychedelics out when it comes to mental health.
That's interesting. Okay. Just okay, cool. Okay, so what else we got here? We've got, okay, meditation. That's a good one. Speaking to the people with my support structure, within my support structure on a regular basis, family and friends.
Yeah, like we
that's,
said, yeah.
That's a really important one. Oof, okay, so there's some, there's, oh, Gordon. Gordon responded, exercise and wanking. So that's cool.
Wait, was that actually him?
That was Gordon.
Wait, Gordon, do you know who did it? Do you know who commented?
Oh, yeah, it was Gordon Henry Morrison.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So he said exercise and wanking. So Gordon Morrison said that. Working out, meditation, and vigorous research. That's interesting. So I was learning more about it. CBD oil is apparently a thing.
That is
and amazing, going on walks with headphones and emergency pulls for severe cases. So that's pretty interesting. Emergency cases. What? Cases. So she
pulls?
Emergency pills. Pills.
Oh, right. Of course.
Yeah. For emergency cases. So yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah.
I will say one of my key ones has been the walk.
Does the walk make a difference to you?
Dude, the walk is huge.
Really?
The walk is massive.
I've heard about the walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only started walking, like, in terms of walking, like, just to clear my, like, just to walk.
Yeah.
I was always walking to somewhere.
Sure.
Just to walk, it's low-key, like. It's
and you, like, listen to music, listen to podcasts. What do you do while you're walking?
Sometimes I listen to a podcast, and it'll specifically be something either, like, motivational or, like, a self-help book. Like, because one thing that I've sort of learned is that the things we tell ourselves, or even just like a bigger thing, like everything comes from an idea. This microphone, this laptop, iPhones, cars, multi-million-dollar businesses, they all came from an idea, from a manifestation, right? And, you know, Steve Jobs always used to say, like, if people can think it, people can do it, and you're no different to those people. And one thing I sort of started to discover was that, like, whether you tell yourself positive things or whether you tell yourself negative things, those things have the ability to manifest themselves because they're still ideas. They don't actually exist in the real world. So one thing I try to do is to actively give myself positive ideas. Like, not in like a silly, like, actually, no, actually in a silly way of I'm the best, I'm the greatest, I can overcome, I can do this.
Sure.
Because often we find that it's so easy to fucking bring ourselves down. It's so easy for the negative to just fly in.
Dude, so
all day long.
It's so easy to do that.
Because we know, ourselves. We know how to pull and like you know, twist.
Like almost just, to break ourselves down.
Yeah. Because we're so good at it. We've been doing it our whole lives, actually. We've been learning through failures and whatnot. So I try to go for a walk and I try to actively feed myself that positive reinforcement.
That's
to a point where I can be more mindful of it and then try to feed myself daily. Or if I'm dealing with a task or if someone's being a dick at me at work or, you know, whatever's going on.
Yeah.
Because those things still have the ability to manifest themselves.
That's
And it sounds crazy.
But you know what? I agree with that so much because I really believe in the power of words.
So it's all idea and words before it's anything.
If you see someone at the office and you say, "Hey, man, love that outfit," that person's day has changed like a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe you hated that outfit. Maybe you said, that's the worst outfit you've seen in your whole life. But if you said, "Hey, dude, great outfit. Hey, person, great outfit." Even that small little bit can change the way they think about it. So even if you say to yourself every day, like, it's like, no, I can't accomplish that. No, I can't achieve that. I can do what I put my mind to. Those, even you just telling yourself that, I think it makes such a difference. It makes such a different way that we see ourselves and way we perceive going forward.
And I think what's sort of happened now in society is that children are over-celebrated, and that can be a bad thing. Like, children are over-celebrated and don't have to deal with that negativity that we necessarily dealt with. But adults are under-celebrated or under-appreciated.
That's a good point.
And that's why often sometimes you need to start and another tactic you can do, even if it's maybe you don't like your job, whatever it is, go to places where you're celebrated more often.
That's interesting.
Because that's something like that's sort of like one method to sort of enable self-belief. Just as an example.
So go to places where you're the best at something or somewhere where you...
Yeah, where you're celebrated, where your beliefs are reinforced, like your positive beliefs become enforced.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and like, it goes back to that thing of what I was saying is that the negative and the positive, they matter. It matters when you tell yourself shitty things. It can fuck with you. It can lead you into a spiral where you're 35 and don't know who you are. Like, it can happen. Or the other version of you actively, you know, take positive steps, give yourself positive ideas about yourself, and, you know, become an imaginable person, someone you never thought you could have been, because all this stuff ultimately matters. Yeah.
Woo. Okay. That was pretty, pretty deep. I think we should pretty end it there. That was hectic. Woo. Okay. Thank you so much, everyone. That was
one of our deepest.
That was one of our deepest.
I'm sorry it wasn't funny, guys.
I'm sorry it wasn't funny. But it was I think it was an important conversation to have.
It was an important talk, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to keep having.
100%.
Most definitely.
It doesn't have to be only a Mental Health Awareness Month. It can be every month. But yeah, we sort of chat about this week. But next week, because we're actually supposed to get to it this week, but we can't do it this week now, we have to do, we're going to do our cancel culture report, because I'm quite excited to get in there. Yeah. Okay, cool. Maybe a bonus episode. We'll see.
100%. Once again, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys.